Okay, page 1220. It's 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 11. 1220. To elders and young men. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
In our series of celebrating God, we are going to celebrate this morning, meditating about God of all grace. And we have heard the reading now from 1 Peter chapter 5. And we are going to concentrate on this particular verse today. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. In this particular verse, we are going to study three things. Called you. That is God calling us. That is the first thing. And the second thing is, after you have suffered a little while, when you read that verse, completing the rest of the words, it says, he himself will come and restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. So we don't need to do a greater effort during this particular period of suffering. God himself, he will restore us and he will make us strong. What a relief it is. Jesus says this verse to his disciples, take my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. To take that easy yoke and to go through that lightened burden, we just need to simply follow Christ. Is it not giving us a calm assurance that God himself is restoring us? God himself is going to be with us. What next? We are called to join eternal glory in Christ. When you see all these three bits, calling first, suffering for a little while in this temporary world, and joining in Christ in eternal glory. And in all these three things, we should not forget one thing, that God's grace is always going to follow us. Do we need any better guidance other than God's grace? Is it not the most highlighted one for us to cherish upon, for us to celebrate God of all grace? We are going to unwrap these three things for the rest of the sermon. God of all grace. We Christians can generally categorize our Christian life into three broader stages. Every journey, it initiates with a starting point. And for us to join the journey, we need to be called. God is calling everyone. We know this familiar verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Whoever believes in him. So the invitation of calling is for everyone. Where he is calling us to? To eternal life. This global invitation is given already, and has the world who has received this invitation for the past so far like 2000 years in different ways have come unto him already? Again, those who have come unto him already, like us in this church, we cannot take any credit for us being here. It is merely by God's grace we are here. God, he has chosen us from the multitude of many. Is it not the thing that we can celebrate? He has chosen me. Is it not the thing that makes us happy and something is bubbling in our heart? Yes, I am chosen in the Lord. People say, coincidence. Yeah, I'm here this morning because my friend has called me. Maybe true, but we need to believe and see that in a bigger picture. Through God's incidence, we are all here. So that's the one thing we need to celebrate. I am called by God. I am chosen by God. I am in his path already. Few of us might have come in different routes to the Lord. Some might have come through the Damascus experience. Scales might have fallen and conversion has happened instantly. We may be knowing the exact time, date, and the moment when we have been converted. That is one route. And for people like myself, it might have been an Emmaus experience. It might be a long road, maybe not knowing when exactly the conversion has happened. But whatever the route it may be, God's grace has called us. He has encountered us and he has brought us here. God's grace is the one thing which we always need to celebrate. And I like one of the hymns, "Amazing Grace." Thank you, Richard, for including that song in this service today. We haven't spoken about that, but it shows that we are working in the same mind and spirit. It is a hymn of timeless truth. And the whole hymn describes the grace of Christ and the salvation in Christ and how we have been faithfully called by God. And I, in my personal life, I can boldly testify any number of times saying that, yes, I was lost before. I had a miserable life before. How wretched I am. I was. But now I am found in Him by grace. We all must have individual testimonies to share how God's grace has found us. And I believe that we all have already responded to God's calling. If you have not responded so far, if you are in a dilemma whether you have responded or not, don't worry. The late is better than never. We are going to have baptismal classes after this service for the consecutive 4 Sundays. This will be after service before bring and share lunch. So please come and join us. We will explore together and you can take decision at the end. God's amazing grace. God of all grace, we are now in the second phase. That is, we are going through suffering for a little while. It is about the travel that we go through this world with the temporary life that we have given. But still, God's grace is following us. It is not that since we have accepted the invitation already, we have already started joining in this journey of faith, it is ever completed. It is already completed. It is not like that. Salvation is an ongoing process. And the salvation will get completed only when we reach the destiny. Peter, who has written this passage which we heard now, he was writing this passage, this particular epistle, to the God's chosen people. Those who have scattered as exiles all around the provinces during that time. To some extent, we can connect ourselves to those audiences. In the sense that we are all as exiles, scattered and living here for a short while. Peter is the right and a more appropriate person to write about God of all grace than anyone else in the Bible. Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, he has been having an intimate relationship with Christ, and in many significant events, we have seen that Peter was appearing with Jesus. When you see, like, in the beginning, when Peter was with James and John, with Jesus, when he was transfiguration on the mount. It was an important, significant event. And Peter was called by Jesus. And Peter was with James and John when Jesus was raising Jairus' daughter from dead. And even before crucifixion, Jesus took few disciples away and Peter was one among them. They were all going to the Garden of Gethsemane for the last prayer. And Jesus was telling Peter, "You will be called as Peter because you are the rock on whom I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it." What a responsible and a honorable position that the Lord Himself has given to Peter. And from Peter's side, he was recognizing before any other disciples that Jesus was a Messiah and He was the Son of God. And when He told that, Jesus was saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because these things cannot be revealed by flesh and blood. Only from my Father in heaven can show that to you." After all these noteworthy and significant personal and spiritual encounters Peter had with Jesus. The sad thing is, Peter betrayed Jesus publicly, saying that, "I don't know him." He disowned Jesus. He denied the Christ, the Messiah, whom he called before. Can God forgive any sins? After Peter disowned the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before, "The cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. When the Lord turned back, Peter came to realize, Peter came to his own senses. That was the turning point in Peter's life. When Peter went out, wept bitterly, and humbled himself, there came a great change. That was the point when Peter changed from his self to Christ. When we look at the character of Peter, after he betrayed the Lord himself publicly, still Christ could fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know what the majestic and what the Holy Spirit has led Peter to do wonderful things after that. The Lord's forgiveness, the Lord's grace is much more deeper than our sins. We may be thinking that I have done a terrible sin, whether the grace can forgive me? Yes. God's grace can go far deeper, can go beyond our imagination than our sins, and he can still save us. We may be thinking like Peter, we may have spent closer and personal relationship with Christ, meditating God every day, and involving ourselves in many spiritual encounters, and doing things only that were pleasing God. And after a sudden, like Peter, due to fear or some any other circumstances, we might have disowned and dismayed. And we might be thinking now, "I have been holy so far. I have been spiritual so far. I have been so close to God so far. But this thing, what I have done now, will it separate me from Christ?" Same like that, Peter was mourning. But I love the story of Peter. I think this is the only man in the Bible who can give us greater support, greater comfort. And still, after doing all this dismay and disowning Christ, Christ could lift him up. Christ's grace could save him up. But we need to remember one thing. He went out, wept bitterly, and humbled. That is the one thing God is looking from us. Are we going to weep bitterly for the things? We may not have gone in the public place saying that, "I don't know him." We might not have said that. We might have done something else that is not pleasant to God's eyes. But we don't need to worry about that, because God's grace is so much powerful, so much wide enough, and it can engulf us, and it can completely embrace us and change us completely and give us a new dimension, what Peter had had before. He has been a great apostle after, and he was doing great things. Can we save ourselves? That is the only thing we try to do, maybe sometimes unknowingly. We know Martin Luther as a seminal figure who has brought Reformation in Protestantism in the church Reformation history. In the early days, he was a monk and he lived in a monastery. And during those days, he was working very hard. He was taking greater efforts in changing himself, trying to make him prepared for Christ and making himself perfect, worthy enough for all these things he was doing to enter into eternal glory. And if you read his autobiography, it says that he has fasted rigorously when he was living in the monastery, and he whipped himself many times. He was doing all those things, and he believed that by doing those things, he can enter into the glory of Christ. There was one question lingering in his heart. It was about, if God is a God of just, can he save the sinners? But later, by God's grace again, he came to his senses. God revealed him that God is not a God of just alone. He is a God of grace and God of just. And the Holy Spirit convinced him later, God's grace is something that God willingly and in abundance love he offered to humanity. And in one of his articles about are we rewarded in view of our works, he has quoted this. It should be understood at the outset that we who are already justified are still sinners. And so we believe in and pray for forgiveness of sins in this life. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayers to thee. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for no man living is righteous before thee. This is a certain statement. We are all sinners and live under the grace of forgiveness of sins. He realized after that, we cannot save ourselves. Whatever effort we can take, it is not going to make it full. It is not going to take us for eternity. During this period of short suffering for a while, we may be facing lots of trials. We may be facing lots of troubles, tribulations. But one thing is for sure, God himself will come and restore us, and he will make us strong, and he will allow us to walk steadfast in Christ. That is the grace of God. That is the beauty of his grace, and we can celebrate forever. Thirdly, the God of all grace is taking us all to eternity in Christ. And this is the stage, the final stage of our destination in our journey of faith. And I believe every believer in Christ, we are earnestly awaiting for this final calling from the Lord. We don't know what exists in the destiny. But one of the believers was asked once, why you are most interested in dead and then about heaven? The believer responded, I have read in the book of Revelation that all the roads in heaven are laid out gold. And we can see the gems, stones, diamonds, everything will be scattered around. And there will be no tears, no fears, no suffering, and no need to go for any job, no need to earn money, no need to worry about anything. One thing he missed, he never mentioned in all of his notes, he never mentioned that I will see Jesus face to face. I'm going to live with him forever. That is a dangerous thing that is going around, even the materialistic expectation in the Lord's presence, even in our final destiny. God's grace, unless by God's grace we are not sustained until we receive that final calling from Christ. Two things always pressurizes and squeezes, either internally or externally. Internally, it is purely by the desire of our own flesh. Externally, by the evil spirits in the heavenly realms. They both act vigorously. They are acting forces. The only motive is to evict us from the faith we have in Christ. That's why Peter mentioned here, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We need to know the main goal of the enemy. It is not the food in our fridge. It is not our money in the bank. It is not anything else he is interested. He is interested just to take us or turn us away from Christ. Two things can result turning away from Christ. One is that complete denial. No, I'm not going to follow Christ. I'm going to follow some other God or following any other faith, becoming atheist somewhere. That is a complete denial. It is so sad to see the believers, those who are in the Christ grace called and sustained, are still fallen apart and they are choosing that route. It is very sad. But the other route is much more dangerous than that. We think that we are walking in the path what Christ has drawn before us, and we are walking towards Christ. But you know what? Not in the path drawn, but taking a distraction, taking a diversion route in that. That distraction and diversion route, we are not sure where it would lead us unto. One thing I can share from my own personal testimony. During my early conversion period, I was much attracted listening preaching sermons from one of the American evangelists, Joyce Meyer. I don't hesitate in mentioning her name now before you, because you can become into awareness of how to see or hear the messages carefully in future. During those time, the message was so powerful, it was really attracting me. One thing she was mentioning in one of the sermons, that use your words for hope. You can use your words for hope-filled future. How the Satan is working. I heard that message, and during that time we had some problem with mortgaging, finance or something. So Satan beautifully brings all these things together. Brings the problem, brings some solution as if it is enticing to us, and we need to be very careful in that. And I was listening to that message when we were prevailing in that problem. It was really attracted one. So I listened to that. And that time, I never thought why we are having God's word. If our words are already powerful, and if our words are already going to bring hope-filled life, why do we bother about following the scripture? I didn't think about that. My eyes were blind. And I exercised what she said. Yes, in the name of Christ. They use the word Christ as well. You should be very careful in that. Don't think that we are following Christ by saying in the name of Christ. In the name of Christ, I declare through my words that this problem, let it go off. And you know what? It happened. The problem was solved. The deficit in the bank account has become into a profit. God brings like that, enticing things, giving us satisfaction, giving us saying that this is the way I am going to worship. Be careful. It is a way of distracting and diverting us away from the truth. We need to follow the scripture. We need to hear sermons and messages, but we need to ask God's grace to be filled in us, to choose the right one, the right doctrine, the true discipleship. Otherwise, the roaring lion can encounter in our life anytime. I thank God that by God's grace, that diverted or distracted route has brought back me into the path what He has drawn. The only true doctrine. Jesus is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. To summarize this, by His grace, we are called by Christ. If we are called, if we are given the invitation, if we are chosen from multitude, we should be thankful. His grace, we are called. By His grace, we are still walking with Christ. Many things can happen and distract us and disturb us. But if we are still following Christ, nothing credit we can take. It is not by our own effort. It is not by our own Bible study. It is purely by His grace. By His grace, we shall enter eternity, standing faultless before the throne. All those faults have been already embraced by Christ in the cross. He is the God of grace and God of just. And for us to be delivered from the penultimate, He took that death on the cross. He wants us to be saved. So He was justified on the cross on behalf of our sins. And the grace has covered us now. Amen.